It's what they call the graveyard shift after lunch. I think we're going to try our best to capture the lessons of the anti-apartheid solidarity movement, and Yolisa will have much more to say about that than I have, because for most of the time I was inside the country, but there was a link between mass struggle and the resistance inside the country and the solidarity movement outside. I did spend a few years outside the country, and I was involved with the movement in this city, in fact, from 79 to 81, so I'll comment on that. But I think I want to also start by talking about the past few years in our country. Now, when Dan and David and Diala were talking about the Zionist lobby in this country, it all sounded very familiar to me, because it's the same situation, or was the same situation for many years in our country. We obviously had people who had very strong links with the State of Israel, and the same kind of methods that they use there is being used now. But because of the strength of the solidarity movement in South Africa, we slowly neutralized and muted their voices and what they could do. And today, when they express themselves, people find them somewhat to be part of the lunatic fringe, actually. But it wasn't like that all the time. I mean, they used apartheid laws to silence us. I recall many demonstrations we attempted to have during the days of apartheid, and the pro-Israeli groupings did not hesitate to use various apartheid laws to clamp down on us. In South Africa, we have a phrase called Sekunjalo, which means the time has come. And really, it has finally become time, after many, many internal arguments, confusion, dithering. It's time for a fully fledged international boycott of Israel. And of course, good cause for this boycott has been in place for decades, as a raft of initiatives already attests. But Israel's war crimes are now so shocking, its extremism so blatant and so clear, the suffering of the people in that region so great, the UN so helpless, and the international community's need to contain Israel's behavior so urgent and compelling that the time for global action has surely matured. So a coordinated movement for divestment, sanctions, and boycott against Israel must convene to contain not only Israel's aggressive, belligerent acts and crimes against humanitarian law, but also, as in South Africa, its founding racist logics that inspire and drive the whole issue. Now, calls for a boycott have often specified and cited specific crimes These were Israel's continual attacks on Palestinian civilians, its casual disdain for Palestinian lives, accidentally destroyed in assassinations and bombings, what the US hegemon and Israel calls collateral damage, its deliberate ruin of Palestinians' economic and social conditions, and of course Lebanese peoples as well, its deliberate annexation, continual annexation and dismemberment of Palestinian land, its torture of prisoners, its contempt for UN resolutions and international law, and especially its refusal to allow Palestinian refugees to return to their homeland. But the boycott campaign cannot target these alone. It must target the ideological source, and that is Zionism is racism. And the true offense to humanity and the source of the war crimes and the atrocities we see is the racist motivation for these practices, which violates all kinds of fundamental values and norms of the post-World War II order. And that racial ideology is neither subtle nor obscure. And Olmert himself has repeatedly thumped the public podium about the demographic threat facing Israel, the threat that too many non-Jews will, the horror, someday become citizens of Israel.